Story to tell you today. This one's about a murder in which the victim trapped the killer. Do you want to hear it?
Now starring Paul Frees as your teller of tales. Another story from The Black Book.
Yes. From the world's most fabulous collection of strange and unusual stories, The Black Book, I've selected a story by Dorothy Horton. She calls it My Favorite Corpse. Artie Paul said goodnight to Lil. Then he walked across town to his hotel. Lil's kiss was still heavy against his lips. Artie smiled as he remembered the pleasures of the evening. Now for tonight, it was ended. But there'd be more evenings like this, many more. At the hotel, he bought a pack of cigarettes, said goodnight to the desk clerk, and went up to his room. He let himself in, flicked on the lights, then placed a telephone call to Long Island. While he waited, he whistled softly through his teeth. There was just one obstacle in the way of complete happiness for Artie. Just one. A voice answered on the other end of the line.
Hello?
Jenny, this is Artie. I just finished that work for the office.
Oh, that's nice, dear.
I didn't realize how late it was until just now. I've decided not to drive home so late at night. I'll stay at the Tarleton.
Well, whatever you think, dear. If it doesn't seem wise to come home, then you'd better stay in town.
I think it's best, Jenny. I'm pretty tired. Call you in the morning from the office, okay?
All right, dear. Good night. And Arthur?
Yes?
Pleasant dreams, darling.
Good night, Jenny. Arthur put up the receiver on the hook and sat staring out of the hotel window. Somewhere out there beyond the lighted city was his wife, Jenny. His devoted, faithful, understanding wife, whom he was going to kill. Artie wasn't sure just when he first planned to kill his wife, but it was shortly after he met Lil Nelson. It had been one of those electric things. Artie and Lil had met a few times for cocktails after he left the office in the evening before going home. At first, it had been merely an exciting flirtation, but quickly, frighteningly, it had grown to be much more. Now he saw Lil every day. He knew he was in love with her. Then finally, one evening, he told Jenny about it.
But Arthur, you're 15 years older than this girl.
Jenny, look, we've been all over this.
Arthur, it simply wouldn't work. Right now, she seems to mean a great deal to you. But it's just a crush. A passing fascination.
Jenny, I'm sorry. I love Lil. I want a divorce.
You're acting like a schoolboy, Arthur. I don't think we should talk about it anymore.
Jenny, can't you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to leave you.
Now, Arthur. We've been through this before. I won't let you make a fool of yourself over that blonde.
Jenny, you're making a mistake.
Arthur, you need me. This girl wouldn't be good for you. You don't really love her. It's just animal attraction. It'll pass. In a little while, we can look back on this and laugh. I'm right. You wait and see. Arthur, are you listening? I won't let you have a divorce, Arthur. That's final. I know what's best for both of us. Arthur, are you listening to me?
Artie was listening. Listening to all the things he knew Jenny would say. All the platitudes, the truisms, the trite sayings that Jenny understood so well. Oh, Jenny loved him, all right. But with a cloying, maternal love. Nothing like the consuming, flaming desire that was Lil's. If there was any particular moment that Jenny sealed her fate, it was then. Half an hour after she went to bed, Artie left his house and drove back toward the city. And Lil.
You're really going to do it, Artie?
Yes, I've got it all planned. There won't be any mistakes.
Pour me another drink, baby.
Sure. Funny, she never calls me baby. Always Arthur, like I was a little boy.
You're not a little boy to me. Not at all. Will it be dangerous?
No.
When, baby?
It'll take time. 2, maybe 3 months. But I've got it planned. Then you won't be stuck in this second floor walk-up. You'll live where you want.
Near you's good enough for me.
We'll travel, have fun.
Florida, Bermuda.
You and me, Lil.
Soon?
Soon.
Three days after he made his decision, Artie bought a small .32 caliber gun. Then he began his period of stage setting. Lil was never mentioned in his home again. She stopped coming by the office to see him. There were no more cocktail rendezvous in the dark bar. And as time passed, people at the office forgot about her. The kidding died away. At bridge parties, his friends remarked on how nice it was to see a couple so much in love as Jenny and Arthur. They were getting along wonderfully. In the months that followed, Artie sat through countless dull plays and movies holding Jenny's hand. And all the while, he ached to be with Lil. Artie wasn't certain that Jenny was fooled by all this sudden affection, but he knew their friends were. And then, after what seemed eternity, the night came. And Artie was glad. It was to be a Wednesday night, the night that Jenny went to a reading club. She'd be home around 10 o'clock. Artie went to work setting up his alibi. He phoned Jenny, then let it be known around the office he'd have to work late, might even stay in town. He ate dinner, then with his briefcase under his arm, sat down in the lobby of the Tarleton, in full sight of the night clerk. It was 8:15. Artie acted his part to perfection. By 8:30, he was nodding. At 9:05, he raised his head, blinked, and looked around. Getting up, he walked to the night clerk.
Well, that's one for the books. Fell asleep right there in the lobby. Look, I'm going up to my room. Nothing short of an atom bomb could get me out of bed tonight.
And the night clerk laughed with him. Artie went up to his room, waited 15 minutes, turned out the lights, and quietly, carefully climbed out the window onto the fire escape. 3 minutes later, he was in his car. 40 minutes later, he was climbing in the library window of his own home. He looked at his watch. 10 o'clock. That was good. Jenny'd be home any minute. He moved quickly to the hallway by the front door and slid into the hall closet, pressing himself back into the darkness. Jenny was such a creature of habit, he knew exactly what she'd do. After she came in, she'd lock the front door, put the key on the hall table, take off her coat, and hang it in the closet. Artie stood in the darkness, his hand wet around the butt of the gun he held. The complete lack of any sound was terrifying. But any minute now, it would... The door. She was home. His ears strained, listening. Stale air of the closet made him dizzy. Then a sound he hadn't expected. What was the fool crying about? Now she was walking, just walking back and forth, and crying, crying softly to herself. Then the crying stopped. She was right outside the closet now. He pressed farther back. Another door was opening, and a knife blade of light sliced into the closet. The coat slithered off a hanger onto the floor. Jenny bent down to pick it up. And her eyes found his shoes, his legs, traveled up to his face, and a rasping cry, her eyes wide. Artie lunged!
I tell you something.
Artie dragged her into the smothering closeness of the hanging coats and pulled the trigger. As he drove back into the city, Artie knew he'd been very clever. It would look like suicide. He'd pressed Jenny's lifeless fingers around the butt of the gun. It was lying on the floor now, close to her body. It was all so simple.
After he parked the car, Artie started for the hotel. But as he walked, a sudden desire made him hesitate. If only he could see Lil for a second, she'd want to know. A few minutes later, he was climbing the back stairs to Lil's apartment. He found the door unlocked and opened it.
Lil? Lil, it's Artie. Where are you, honey?
There was no answer. He stepped into the living room and suddenly something burst inside his head. Lil! Lil was lying on the floor, doll-like, grotesque. The blue robe he'd given her was stained with blood. A gun lay beside her.
Artie! Help me!
Lil! Lil, baby!
Oh, it hurts, Artie. Make it stop hurting.
Lil! Lil, what happened?
She shot me.
She? Who?
She came in, said she wanted to talk, but shot me.
Lil.
She's...
Lil, I'll call a doctor.
Said she knew. For months she knew about me.
Baby, baby, when please don't try to talk.
When she shot me, your wife laughed. Artie. Oh, Artie.
Lil.
Artie got to his feet. Lil was dead. He picked up the gun. It was his gun. His gun. The one he'd always had around the house. The one he had registered in his name. Now, too late, he remembered he hadn't seen it for several days. Of course, Jenny had taken it when she planned a murder of her own. Jenny had fooled both of them. And Artie stood there for a moment, looking down at Lil. Tears filled his eyes and spilled over. After a moment, he walked to the phone and slowly picked up the receiver.
I want the police. Please, this is Arthur Powell. I want to report two murders. One at my home on Long Island, and the other here at the River Crest Apartment.
The Black Book stars Paul Frees as your teller of tales, assisted today by the noted Hollywood actress Virginia Gregg. Dorothy Horton's suspense magazine story, My Favorite Corpse, was adapted and directed by Norman MacDonald. The special music is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens.
Next week, I'll have another story for you from The Black Book. It's most unusual, and it's called The Vagabond Murder.
Oysters are in season every month that has an R in it. And Jack Benny's gang are in season whenever Sunday night rolls around. Listen in whenever you are in the mood for fun. Clarence Cassell speaking. Remember, the comedy treat that can't be beat is Jack Benny Time, Sunday nights on the CBS Radio Network.